Our next presenter is Glenn Karish. If you've been to this conference, we've heard him speak many times, and it's always incredibly informative and useful. Mr. Karish is of the Karish Jonas Law Firm out of Austin, Texas. He's board certified in estate planning and probate law and also an ACT Tech Fellow. So, welcome, Mr. Karish.
This will work. Okay. So I get bombarded with the online CLE program announcements, and I don't know which company that's putting out the CLE does it, but there's one that I got again this morning, which is it's called Trust Protectors, the superheroes of the trust world. And I think in some respects that might be true. I think we have an opportunity when we're using trust protectors to solve a lot of problems, but we can also create some problems. And so what I would like to talk about are two ways in which we use trust protectors. One is very basic, a way to have a third party change the trustee personnel, which is particularly helpful in special needs trusts. And the other is if you have a long-term trust that's going to last more than until the child reaches age 25, like a lifetime trust for dynasty planning purposes, or a trust for a special needs individual who's going to live a long time but not ever be able to take over control of his or her property, then we need a more comprehensive trust protector provision so that you can avoid going to court to do changes in various aspects with respect to the trust. It can be very helpful to have a trust protector. So trust protectors come from a statute on what are called directed trusts. Directed trusts generally are any situation where a third party can tell a trustee what to do, basically. Big trusts for very wealthy individuals oftentimes use a money manager, for example, who's different from the trustee, and they give the money manager the authority to manage all the investments. So the trustee just is directed to do whatever investments the money manager says. And in those situations, obviously, the trustee is concerned about being protected from liability for listening to the instructions of the investment advisor. Trust protectors, and what I'm going to talk about are directed trusts, but they're in a much more limited role. Typically, the trust protector makes infrequent, out of the ordinary decisions. So it's not a matter of like managing the assets or making all the distribution decisions with respect to a special needs trust. It's changing trustee personnel or amending the trust or doing some sort of infrequent, out of the ordinary act that makes the trust administration work better. So that's primarily what we're going to be talking about today. It's important to note that trust protectors are not trustees. If you're a trustee, a bag of liability issues arise, duties arise, and potential liabilities. And so it's very important to make it clear that you're appointing a trust protector and not a special trustee or not a secondary trustee or a co-trustee if what you're trying to accomplish is what we're talking about in this presentation. There's a Uniform Directed Trustee Act promulgated by the National Commissioners on Uniform State Laws. We don't have that statute in force in Texas, but one of the things that's useful is it gives a laundry list of things that a trust protector or a directed trust may be used. And I picked a few of the items off of that laundry list to talk about here. You could use a trust protector or a directed trust to modify, reform, terminate, or decant a trust. You can use a trust protector to change the principal place of administration, situs, or governing law of the trust. or to ascertain the happening of an event that affects the administration of the trust, for example, determining the capacity or the eligibility for government benefits of a beneficiary.